Morning. I'd like to welcome you all here. I'm happy to see you all here at Twin City this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so happy to have you with us this morning. And if we can do anything for you, like answer some questions or whatever it may be, we'd love to meet you afterwards and help you out with anything we can and get to know you. I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving a few days ago, and I hope that you enjoyed time with your loved ones. I know that I did, and I thank God for that. If you don't know, my name is Matthew Usry, and I am not the regular preacher here. I'm not a preacher by any means at all, actually. But while we're waiting for Curtis Pope to join us in February, the men here and we brought in some guests to preach on Sundays for us. And so I saw that opportunity and I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And so here we are. This morning, I wanted to give a lesson on a story that I've really only ever heard in a lesson once. But it's a very entertaining story and has lots of applications to it as well. We'll go to the Old Testament for this lesson. It's a time of war in the kingdom of Israel. David is king, sort of, about 20 years after his infamous sin with Bathsheba. Absalom, David's own son, has kind of taken over the throne from his father. David is still technically king, but he's on the run, so how effective can you really be as a king when you're on the run? But this story isn't about David, and it's not about Absalom. This morning I wanted to do a character study on one of the characters involved in Absalom's conspiracy. His name is Ahithophel. And there's a good chance that this man brought more fear to David than any other adversary. And we know that David went up against the likes of Goliath and he had countless enemies. So that's something to be said there. There's scheming, betrayal, a battle of wits, double-crossing, and more. So let's just jump into it. We'll go ahead and talk about some of the characters in the context of this story. The first character that we'll need to know about is David. And we all know about David, the great king of Israel, man after God's own heart. He's a great warrior, giant slayer. But the important context for this portion of history is after his sin with Bathsheba, Nathan foretells what's going to happen to David. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 10 through 12. And this is Nathan after he's confronted David about his sin. He's speaking for God here. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. So this is the kind of context I want us to realize. David seems to be shaken for quite a while after this happens. And he makes some decisions concerning his family that us, at the way we think about David, we may not expect a man like that to make. We're not going to really talk about those, but just know that David's had a rough few years at this point. Our next character is Absalom. It's David's son who's furious at the way that David handled the situation with Amnon and Tamar. Absalom had Amnon killed, and then he fled Jerusalem. He was gone for 3 years. And then when things kind of settled a little bit, he came back. But even then, for 2 more years, David wouldn't allow Absalom into his presence. So he went 5 years without seeing his father. In those 2 years, he walked amongst the people and kind of started to gain their favor a little bit. Absalom, after he had met with his father finally, he started hanging out around David's gate, basically intercepting anyone that wanted to come see David for any judiciary or kingly duties. Absalom would take those upon himself, and he would solve the issues for the people. And, well, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6 says it best. It reads, "Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." So Absalom really started to win over Israel here. And that's when his conspiracy starts to begin against David. So the third character I want to talk about, Ahithophel, is the main character for this lesson. He's the chief advisor to David up until the point that Absalom starts to take over the kingdom of Jerusalem. Absalom calls him at the start of his conspiracy, and he comes. He is greatly renowned by all for his sage advice. David holds him in especially high regard. Let's read verse 23 of chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 23. "Now in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed by both David and Absalom." David likens the counsel of Ahithophel to consulting God. If that's not high praise, then I don't know what is. Also, it's likely that the wisdom that Ahithophel displayed was a godly wisdom, at least while he was with David. Because not only does David draw that comparison, but he kept him around as his chief advisor. So there's a good chance he was a godly man at least at some point. So you can understand that when we see this later, when David learns about Ahithophel siding with Absalom, he becomes troubled and immediately prays to God. The fourth character that we need to know about is a man named Hushai. There's not a lot written about him, but he plays a very important role in the story. Basically, all we need to know at this point is that when David's on his way out of Jerusalem, fleeing from Absalom, David is met by Hushai. Hushai is David's friend from the past. And that's all we need to know. So let's start reading our story. We'll start in chapter 15, verse 12. "And while Absalom was offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city Gilo. And the conspiracy grew strong, and the people with Absalom kept increasing." So Absalom here recruits Ahithophel for his cause, which seems like a huge win for Absalom. We know his wisdom is highly esteemed throughout Israel. And some commentaries that I read say that Ahithophel is a high-ranking official besides being chief advisor to the king. So it is likely that recruiting Ahithophel brought in even more people to Absalom's cause. So let's continue reading, starting in verse 31 of chapter 15. "And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So David learns of Ahithophel working for Absalom and clearly realizes he needs to take action to that immediately and does it the best way he knows how. He prays to God. He knows that Ahithophel is very wise and can very well orchestrate the end of King David. So he prays to God and asks him to turn the advice of Ahithophel into foolishness. And God answers his prayer in the next verse. So let's keep reading in verse 32. "While David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, with his coat torn and dirt on his head. David said to him, If you go on with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in time past, so now I will be your servant. Then you will defeat for me the counsel of Ahithophel." So, David seems to realize that God has sent Hushai to him, and realizes this is God's plan for how he's going to answer my prayer. He says Hushai won't be able to be used in his army or his group that's going with him. He's going to be a burden to him. He's going to have to watch after him. So he sends him instead to Jerusalem to pretend to work for Absalom so that he can combat any advice that Ahithophel gives to Absalom. So let's jump to chapter 16 in verse 15. This is when Absalom is officially taken over Jerusalem. So Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." And Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, for whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain. And again, whom should I serve? Should it not be his son? As I have served your father, so I will serve you." So Hushai gives a pretty convincing argument here for why he's not going to stay with David and why he's instead going to work for Absalom. And Absalom eats it right up. Verse 20. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your counsel. What shall we do?" Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now in those days the counsel of Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed by both David and Absalom. So here we read about Ahithophel giving some interesting advice to Absalom. And tactically, I guess you could say it seems like some good advice. Absalom doing this act against his father would make it clear to his followers that he intends to have the throne, and he had no intention of repairing or reconciling the relationship with his father. But overall, this is just a nasty act and detestable in God's eyes. So now let's read chapter 17, verse 1 through 4. This is the next set of advice that Ahithophel gives Absalom. Chapter 17. "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic. And all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace.' And the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel." So Ahithophel here gives some pretty good advice on how to defeat David. If Absalom would have listened, David would have been caught in a moment of vulnerability, and Ahithophel would have had him killed. Absalom liked the plan, but he wanted to hear what Hushai had to say, and thank goodness for that. So let's start reading, and let's continue reading in verse 5. "Then Absalom said, 'Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say.' And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom said to him, 'Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, you speak.' Then Hushai said to Absalom, 'This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good.' Hushai said, 'You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is an expert in war. He will not spend the night with the people. Behold, even now he has hidden himself in one of the pits or some other place. And as soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, "There has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom." Then even the valiant man, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and that those who are with him are valiant men. But my counsel is that all Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we shall come upon him in some place where he is to be found, and we shall light upon him as the dew falls upon the ground. And of him and of the men who are with him, not one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we shall drag it into the valley, until not even a pebble is to be found there." And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. So Hushai gives the best speech of his life here. He starts by saying, this Ahithophel guy, he gave you some terrible advice. And then the way he presents his own advice is in a very persuasive manner, even though it ends up being the wrong advice. Absalom listens to it instead of Ahithophel's. Hushai has defeated Ahithophel, but not alone. The key verse is verse 14. Let's read it one more time. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. It was the Lord's plan that Hushai would prevail here. Ahithophel never stood a chance. Whether it was God giving the eloquence to Hushai to make his plan sound much better, or maybe it was a Pharaoh situation where God moved Absalom's heart to trust in Hushai's plan even more. However it happened, God had the victory here. So let's get to some takeaways from this. I've got three. Ahithophel might be wise, but he fails in a few areas. First, Ahithophel chooses the wrong side. He knows that David is a man of God. David is constantly honoring God and making decisions based around what God has commanded the Israelites to do. David has the utmost respect for God. And yet, for as much time as Ahithophel has spent around David, he fails to realize the wisdom in choosing God's side. Ahithophel chooses instead to conspire against and plot to kill God's anointed. Anyone who goes up against God loses. God's victory is imminent, and the Bible tells us this. Just a few verses. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So, I can't say it any better than that. But the second thing where Ahithophel fails is seeking revenge, which can cloud the judgment of even the wisest of men. And you may be wondering, why would I say revenge here? We haven't even talked about that in the story. Well, let's look. Turn over and put your finger in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And then flip over to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, we're looking at the list of David's mighty men. And in verse 34, this is part of the list, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbi of Maacah, and Eliam, the son of Ahithophel of Gilo. So now let's flip over to chapter 11 and read verse 3. And this is the story of David's sin with Bathsheba. So, and David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam, making her the granddaughter of Ahithophel. David's entire messy debacle with Bathsheba was a terrible experience for her and her family. It got her husband killed and her child died because of it. Ahithophel could not have been pleased with how this turned out. And it's very likely this is what swayed Ahithophel to join Absalom's side. It likely had a lot to do also with his recommendation that Absalom go into his father's concubines for the whole nation to see. He may have wanted to embarrass David as revenge for embarrassing his own family. And this is what the Bible has to say on revenge. Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We read in those verses that revenge is a terrible idea. It never leads to anything good. And causes others to be messed up as well. And even out of Jesus' own mouth, can read Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 38. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So Jesus says to get revenge out of your heart. Get paying back somebody evil for evil out of your heart, and instead pay back with love and being generous. The last thing that Ahithophel fails at is forgiveness. If we can't learn to forgive others, especially those close to us, then it can easily cause our downfall. Ahithophel let his personal feelings get in the way of serving God. Ahithophel didn't seek to forgive David, and he didn't seek forgiveness from God either. Let's read one more verse in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. 2 Samuel 17, 23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went off home into his own city. He set his house in order and hanged himself, and he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. So Ahithophel couldn't live with his own failures. He chose to take his own life. He saw that as the solution, whether it be because he was ashamed that Absalom didn't listen to his advice, or he just saw, man, Hushai's plan is going to fail and I'm going to suffer because of it. Either way, he decided that the solution was to take his own life. This story right here can be seen as an antitype for what is to happen in the New Testament. Jesus, like David, is betrayed by Judas, someone who is very close to him. Neither Judas nor Ahithophel could deal with how their situation turned out and didn't know where to turn after that. Ahithophel could have thought back to David and how repentant he was when he came face to face with his own sin. Asking for forgiveness deals away with putting away your own pride. And it's possible that Ahithophel, a man greatly esteemed for his wisdom in all of Israel, could have suffered with pride issues. But the only thing we should boast in is, or esteem ourselves in, is the righteousness of Christ. We read it in the New Testament about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6 in the same sermon that we just read. For if you forgive, or chapter 6 verse 14 through 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Psalm 103:10-14, this is writing about God. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. So, to kind of wrap things up here, when faced with our situations in life, we need to remember the follies of Ahithophel. Failure to forgive and a heart set on revenge can turn the wisest of men into fools. Man will fail you. It could be a family member, a teacher, a close friend, a member of the church, an elder, whoever it may be. Man is imperfect, but God is perfect and will not fail you. It is always prudent to side with God. No person or scheme can thwart God and his will. And this is something we can take comfort in. No nation, no president, politician, no political party, no judge, no agenda of man, no anybody has any measure of control that can compare to God's. Ahithophel did not understand that God's will is going to be carried out, period, end of story. The Bible tells us that God's will is that this earth is not meant to last forever. Those who have kept God's commandments will join him in heaven when that time comes, and those who do not will spend eternity in hell. God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. If you want to align yourself with God, Now is the perfect opportunity to do so. Whether you need to start your walk with God with baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, or maybe you haven't